I had a, I got another announcement I forgot. Who all is going to Augusta? Just raise your hand just so I can know who's going, whether you're riding or driving or riding the bus. All right, all right, all right. All right. We're going to get, well, you're going to get with Miss Spells or somebody. We got to get a number because they're going to feed you on Saturday when you get there and also on Sunday on the way out, all right? So we got to make sure we get those numbers. I wanted to make sure we said that. Now, Sunday, I think it's been in the bulletins, but next Sunday what will happen is we'll have 9 o'clock a.m. Sunday school, amen? Sunday school will be at 9 a.m. and church will be at 10 a.m., amen? So wake up just a little bit early, just a little bit, because some of y'all look still asleep now, amen? All right, all right. So next, this Sunday coming up, 9 a.m. Sunday school, 10 a.m. church, all right? All right, all right. You're going to be here if you ain't going. Who ain't going? You ain't going, be here, all right? Y'all going to be here at 10 o'clock? I ain't never. All right, thank you. Amen. You're going to make sure they're here, ain't you? All right, thank you. If y'all ain't here, you're going to look at it. Look, can you see everybody's face? You see them right there? Yeah. Yeah, you got them. All right. Look, I know y'all kind of looking asleep, but can y'all do me a favor? I don't know if we just stand up or just do it sitting there. You know what? Can y'all stand up for 1 second? I need y'all to look happy. If you ain't happy, put on your fake face. Just put on your fake face. And I just need y'all to do this. We're going to say to the camera over here or wherever it's at, or just, should they look straight? What should they do, brother? Look straight or look at you or what? Look at you. All right. We saying Merry Christmas. Huh? Merry Christmas from New Beach Grove. That sound right? Oh, did we say Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas. And Happy Holidays or just Merry Christmas? I'm just asking. All right, Merry Christmas from New Beach Grove. All right, y'all ready? 1, 2, 3. Merry Christmas from New Beach Grove. Yay! 20K, baby. Good. All right, thank y'all so much. Look at that, boy, we bad. I need to be a director. And the Oscar goes to Maxwell for directing Happy. I'm about to say happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Oh, Jesus, anyway. Thank y'all so much. Y'all so cooperative. Y'all look so happy. If y'all don't want to look fake no more, you can go ahead and look like you were looking at first. Anyway, if you would turn to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Again, we thank this great choir. My goodness, great choir. We thank the deacons and the trustees and deaconesses. Amen. Look at the deaconess with all they black on, boy. They scaring the devil in here today. Amen. 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 Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. Amen. Proverbs, chapter 3. Amen. 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 All right. All right. All right. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs, chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Hey, man, I like that suit, man. You might have to get that for me for Christmas. It just kind of might need to adjust it just a little bit for me. But anyway, just on a tangent. I'm back. Sorry. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Lord, ask for your power and grace to reside upon your servant. I ask for you to bring the word in which you want to bring and bring it the way you want to bring it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I need you all to know that we're still in our series, God Has Something to Say to You. And we're learning how to listen to the voice of God. Today, our message is check yourself. Check yourself. Remember, check yourself before you, anyway, but check yourself. Amen. Check yourself. See, we all have predispositions, and that's why we have to check ourselves when we're talking to people, because sometimes we hear what we want to hear. It was funny. I sent out a computer message one day, and I forgot what it said, but it was some announcement, and some people said, well, church, Maxwell said church closed tomorrow. Somebody else said, Maxwell said we got church at such and such o'clock. And it was a computer that said it, so I know it was clear. It wasn't no Southern swag in it. It was typed in, and the computer said exactly what I wrote in there, but everybody heard it differently. Why? Because people have predispositions. So what we hear from God is determined in part by our attitude that we carry into the conversation with him. See, our mindset toward a conversation with God is affected by these things: our prior relationship with God, our understanding about God, our attitude toward God. Anytime we go into a conversation with God, we go into that encounter with some history. We have an attitude toward God based on our understanding of him. And the result is that we are predisposed to hearing certain things from God and not hearing other things. See, have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they couldn't understand you no matter how clear you were talking? And it's almost like they got an aberration in their brain. They just can't get it right. And every time you say it, they can't hear you. And sometimes somebody try to talk to you and they try to tell you, but you can't hear it because it's what? It's not what you want to hear. It was not what they want to hear. A lot of times we can't hear what we don't want to hear. See, but see, we have a relationship with if our relationship with God is like that, it's going to be, we're going to take that same attitude in prayer. If you have an attitude with God, or if you don't feel like God loves you, if you got a situation where your relationship is not healthy with God, you might hear God, but you're not going to hear what God really is trying to tell you. See, if we have no prior relationship with him, if we have a faulty understanding of him, or we had a wrong attitude toward him, we aren't going to hear him what he says. But look, who the fault? The fault is not his, it's what? Ours. We have to check ourselves. We have to acknowledge his ways. See, you may have the feeling that as you listen to this sermon that you're getting blamed for something. Mm-mm. Don't take it like that. Blame is not the intention of the message that I'm bringing right now. Rather, my hope is that you will recognize some of the blocks that have been built into your spirit toward God's, perhaps through faulty parenting, bad teaching, unexplained circumstances, or your rebellion. As you recognize these blocks, ask the Lord to dissolve them. Open yourselves to the healing power and ask him to give you ears to hear. You understand? All right, I'm trying to talk to you. Your history with God. See, all of us have a history with God. Before, you was a twinkle in your daddy's eye looking at your mom. He already knew you. He already knew what he wanted you to be. He already knew what your purpose was. He already had a plan for you. Whether you recognize it or not, God has a plan already for you. The only message, though, see, that an unbeliever will hear from God, however, is that he or she is a sinner. See, until you receive Christ, you really can't hear anything but a salvation message. Everything else is just like the peanuts, wah, 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 wah. You can't hear anything. Until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot hear anything beyond that of salvation. So when we're talking to God, or when we're conversing with God, or when we're praying to God, the first thing we need to do is check our relationship. You understand? See, if you have a bad relationship with somebody, you can't hear them. If you don't like somebody and they're giving you a criticism, even if they're trying to get you right, you don't hear them. But if your friend come and say the same thing, you hear it, don't you? It's all about the relationship. Some of us, if we look at the pastor and we don't want to hear the pastor. The pastor too young, the pastor too black, the pastor too single, the pastor too this or too that. And we can't hear it because why? It's a predisposition we have. It's hard to hear folk that you don't like. It's hard to hear people you don't respect. The same goes with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, it's hard to hear him. When you receive Christ, you're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and you're brought into the marvelous light. Then you have a two-way relationship with him. You can converse. See, once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we must take a second step. Salvation establishes relationship and settles the matter of our eternal security, but then we move on from salvation into identification with Jesus Christ. He becomes not only our Savior, but what? Our Lord. See, that is, Christ's life is ours, and our lives are now his. The Apostle Paul taught us in Galatians, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. See, in identification, see, this is the mindset I take. I take this right here. He was crucified at Calvary, and I was crucified at Calvary too, you. See, when he put to death sin and the flesh was killed, the flesh of us was killed. You understand? He took our place. We were supposed to be on the cross. We were supposed to have eternal damnation, but Jesus Christ took our place. So because he died and took sin to the grave, our sin is gone as well. All right? See, you have there has been Jesus was buried and raised. You were buried and raised in the newness of life, and you have unending life now. You understand what I'm saying? So he died so you wouldn't have to die. He became sin so you wouldn't have to become sin. Even when you sin, you're justified by faith when you go to God and ask him for forgiveness. Let me slow myself down. Identification is the theme of Romans 6. I'm going to get there. When we accept by faith that sin's power over us has been broken by Jesus Christ, we are free to walk in the Spirit and to become the persons God wants us to be. We no longer live for ourselves and on our own. We continually seek to live as Jesus would live, and we trust him to empower us and enable us to do so. See, the extent to which we seek to identify with Jesus will determine, in part, what we hear God say to us. See, if we content with just being saved, we're not going to listen to God when he wants the church to grow. You know, some people don't want churches to grow because they don't want nobody in the seat they think theirs. Because they ain't worried about anybody's salvation. See, when you get to the point, you have to grow in Christ and want to grow in Christ and be able to bring other people to Christ. And sometimes we have a selfish mentality at church. And we think, look here, I've been paying my social club dues. See, some of us think we had a social club. Some of us think we had a country club. We think we've been paying tithes this long. I've been paying my tithes. I don't know who this new member is, but they better get out of my seat. Huh? Because we have that mentality. This is not a social club. See, we think we pay into a social club, and then God is supposed to serve us, or the people are supposed to serve us. I've been here 25 years. Somebody need to go pull my chair out. Jesus said all of us can be great because the greatest of us are servants. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And if we're supposed to follow in the image and the role of Christ, we're supposed to die to ourselves. To be more like Christ is to be less like yourself. To be less worried about yourselves. When you begin to worry about yourselves all the time, you know you're not walking in Christ. You have got to learn how to sacrifice and put your own agendas down and allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. You know the devil don't care about any of us at the point we already say he don't even care about that no more. Once you say, look, I don't care how mean somebody is at church. And everything, if they know Jesus, they're going to heaven. Might as well love them now. You're going to see him for eternity. That's why when folks stab me in the back and all that, I don't worry about all that. Might as well get used to them now. Only got to enjoy them 80, 90 years maybe. But then when I go to heaven, I'm going to see them. Hopefully the knife gone. You understand? But the thing of what I'm saying is this. The devil doesn't care about saved churches that just sit in the pews and do nothing. Pastors don't catch no hell from nobody as long as they just preaching the same sermons and folks standing in the pews and we got a little hat drive. We got a little cooking thing. We eating and we fellowshipping. We got some milk and cookies and some donuts and all we do is have a little social club. Why? The devil doesn't try to call into confusion because you're not saving anybody else. The devil knows he cannot steal your salvation. He wants to steal your witness. He wants to make sure that you don't go out and try to bring anybody else. See, if I'm the devil, I can only kill, steal, and destroy. I can't create any more demons. I can't create any more archangels, any more messed up people any more demons to do my job. I can only kill, steal, and destroy. So if I only have a limited resources, I'm not going to shoot at anybody that's not doing anything for the kingdom. The minute you try to do something for the kingdom, that's when the devil begins to jump up at you because now you're making a difference. When you start trying to snatch somebody else out of the pit of darkness and bring them into the marvelous light, that's when Satan comes at you. He has no reason to mess with you when you're on his team or when you just sitting in the pew worried about are you going to have your seat. That is your seat as long as you beat somebody to it. The devil doesn't care about us or worry about us or fight us when we just sitting in the pews, when we just want to deal with everybody that's already just at New Beach Grove, when we don't want to reach out, when we're just trying to take members from First Baptist Denby or Gethsemane. He doesn't care about that because why? It's not making a net increase. But when you begin to go out and deal with some stuff in the community, When you begin to do basketball tournaments, when you begin to go outside the walls of the church and begin to bring other people in that may not be already Christian and it may not already be fixed and know how to hide their sin and know how to put on a long dress or a good tie, when you begin to go out into the world and begin to get people out the highways and byways, that's when Satan gets upset and attacks you because he wants your witness. But see, you got to be able to have the right relationship with God in order to pursue those things. Let me ask you this question before we even get into this sermon. What is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ like? We're going to deal with that. And we'll begin to ask these different questions as we go through this particular sermon. Just begin to reflect on yourself. That's all we're doing. We reflecting. We're doing psychoanalysis right now. Romans 8, 9, and 14 says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God." In other words, he's saying, look, he'll walk in the spirit. Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Basically, you cannot do anything aside from God. God is your everything. You cannot do anything without God. Why are we so stingy when every good and perfect gift comes from God? He's the one that gives us a good measure, blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's the one that gives us the power to obtain wealth. He's the one that says, "I will withhold no good or perfect gift from you." He's your blesser and sustainer. Let's see how we look at God, because the way we look at God is the way we are. That's how it affects our relationship. See, look, what we hear is affected by our understanding of who God is. Each of us seems to be born with a mental grid system of opposites. As we grow and have experiences, we categorize them as good or bad, plus or minus, helpful or harmful. Over time, this grid system of opposites creates in us an overall perspective on life. Some might call this our worldview or our mindset. We transfer some of our thinking from the past into new areas of experiences. See, let me just break it down for you. Now look, is God in your mind a loving or demanding father? See, do you come before God expecting him to accept you, love you unconditionally, and embrace you warmly? Or do you expect him to ridicule you, put condition on whether he loves you or not, reject you if you err or what? How do you look at him? See, because the way you look at him is the way that you're going to be able to receive from him. You understand? If you look at him like a demanding father that doesn't forgive you, when you get punished or when you get chastised, you would think he just don't like you. But when you look at him as a loving father, you'll say, you know what? He's just trying to teach me something. He's loving me, taking me from one level of glory to the next level. How do you understand God? Do you believe he loves you? Do you believe that he loves you unconditionally or he loves you with conditions? See, the problem is we think God loves us for what we do. God doesn't love you by your deeds. See, we think God wants to have a relationship with us. If we do good, he wants to talk to us. If we do bad, he doesn't. No, he wants to talk to you because of relationship. See, if your friend in trouble that you know, you sympathize with them. You feel bad for them and you want to help them out because they're your friend. You have a relationship. Somebody you really don't know, you may empathize, but you may not sympathize. And lo and behold, if it's your enemy going through it, you probably don't care, no matter how devoted of a Christian you are sometimes. You understand? The thing about this, you want to talk to people about their problems and have them share with you because what? You have a relationship. It's not about what they do or what they don't do. You love them because y'all have a relationship. God wants to talk to you based on your relationship. The problem is we think that we have a father that only wants to bless us when we do good and punish us when we do wrong. No, we have a God that loves us unconditionally. Whether I do right or do wrong, my God still loves me. Even if I make my bed in hell, he's right there trying to get me out of it. He loves me no matter what I do, right or wrong. You're justified by faith. Yes, work without faith is dead, but God says you are justified by faith so that no man can boast by his salvation. Is he an intimate or distant friend? See, do you come to God and tell him what you feel? See, my mama used to get mad at me when I was a kid. Probably still get mad at me now. But the way I used to talk to God and converse with God, because I talk to God how I want to talk to God. Because I have a relationship with God. You understand? Like, when people that don't like me joke with me, sometimes I don't even joke back. Because I don't know how you're going to take it, even though you started the joke. I might say something to Briggs and Tripp. I might even talk to Briggs because I'm probably taking some stuff out on him that I need to get to some of y'all. But we got relationship. So when you have an intimate relationship, you will share stuff. How many people got some friends, they friend, but you ain't going to tell them your private business? Huh? Some folks, you can't tell everybody. See, that's what's wrong with church folks. They always talking about testify. You better learn how to say, if I can't say a word. You got to learn that song too, baby. Sometimes you got to shut your mouth. You can't talk to everybody about some things that go on in your life. You can't talk to everybody on the same level. You can't give them all your intimate business. But with God, is he an intimate or distant friend? I tell God when I'm mad about something he's telling me to do, I still do it, but I let him know I don't like it. Why? Because it's relationship. If you never get upset with God, you don't have a relationship with God. If you never get upset with your wife or your husband, I ain't saying cuss them out and fight. But what I'm saying is, if you agree all the time, that is no relationship. I talk to God, converse with him all day. God, I'm going to do this. I don't think it's a good idea, but you know you way smarter than me. But you have to make me understand it, and I just keep walking it out. Why? Because God is my intimate friend. He's not my distant friend. I can tell him my business. He know it anyway. That's the whole problem. I don't know why church folks try to hide stuff from God. He already know. Go ahead and tell him. What you tell your intimate friend, you're not going to tell your distant friend. How close are you to God? Do you confess your sins to God and your weaknesses and ask him to deal with it? Do you get mad and let God know when you're upset? Do you be true to him? He said, worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. See, when we come to worship, they think we just mean coming to hear, oh, oh, we worshiping and y'all singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all think that, no, worship him in spirit and truth. Come to God real. Let him know I love you for who you are, but right now I don't understand this. I'm tired of going through this, and I need you to get me up out of this. What is, you got to be real with God. It's intimate. Don't let anybody make you feel bad. When you're talking to God, it's your conversation. God deals with everyone on a case-by-case basis. He deals with each of us by our own personality. Patient or intolerant teacher? Huh? See, do you expect the Lord to teach you the error of your ways so you might improve? Or do you expect him to give you a grade of an F? See, some of us think when we go through hell and tribulations that God is punishing us. But some of us who are mature know that he's getting us ready for a blessing. See, if you can't handle somebody kicking down your cubicle, you can't handle when somebody going to give you more hate when you got a door to your office. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? See, until you learn how to deal with the hate and the demonic activity on the low level, God can't elevate you to the next level. And sometimes you have to understand that God let me go through some of this stuff because he wanted to teach me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Every step is ordered of the Lord. Everything happens for my good because I'm called according to his purpose. If it's bad, it's still good. If it's good, it's just great. You hear what I'm saying? Do you think he's trying to teach you or do you think he's trying to punish you? The stuff I went through at home, I knew it was getting me ready for coming here. And I know the stuff I go through now is either ready to elevate me in new leadership here or get me ready for my next assignment. I don't know. But I know it's for my good. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? See, God is a teacher. When you go through your test, you pass your test, you go to the next grade. But God, not like George Bush, he don't say, no, let no child left behind. He'll leave you right there on the same level if you don't pass that test. You will be 55 years old, still in the fifth grade. God ain't going to just give you a grade and push you up out of there and give you your degree. God ain't going to do that. God not going to let you out of a grade school training if you don't make the grade. God will leave you right where you are until you learn what it is he wants you to learn because he won't let food grow on your vine before it's time. See, you think God, see, some of us are not blessed because we're not ready for it. Because if we step into different levels of blessing, we won't be able to handle it. If I would have got this blessing any other sooner, Lord Jesus, I'd be at home. heathens try to kill you. Folk that's about to have your back trying to uncover you. It's easy to deal with that in the dark room. See, the problem is we get mad because we want to be on the spotlight. And we think that when we go through something, God has buried us. God has not buried you. He planted you. See, you got to plant a seed for it to grow. And sometimes God is planting you in some stuff. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Sometimes he plants you in mess. Do you know what they do? They give you, we know when your grass not getting green, they'll go get some stuff called manure. And you know what that is? That's the number two thing you do. And it don't smell good, but it makes the grass green. Do you know sometimes that God is just putting some manure around you to fertilize your life? Do you know sometimes hate is good because hate ain't nothing but fertilizer? Lying ain't nothing but a fertilizer. Gossip ain't nothing but a fertilizer. Keep throwing that mess at me. Throw that mess at me. I shake it off, put my feet in it, and God is going to take me to the next level in my life. Hate on me, it's fertilizer. Lie on me, it's fertilizer. Talk about me, it's fertilizer. Stab me in the back, it's fertilizer. Failure, it's fertilizer. Criticism, it's fertilizer. Everything that happens to me is always going to be for my good. Whether it's good or bad, I know God is working. Yeah. Throw your manure, it helps me. Throw your hate, it fertilizes me. See, when somebody hate on you the next day, just tell them, baby, thank you, baby. I'm going green. Thank you for the fertilizer. When they try to get you messed up on your job, just tell them, thank you for the fertilizer. You ain't doing nothing but taking me to the next level. See, until you learn how to handle the criticism here, you can't handle the criticism on the next level. Because if you can't handle it down here, you ain't ready to handle it up here, baby. Hey, how they say, I'm trying to go back to the great hip-hop rapper, dad of one of them jokers, P. Diddy. More money, more problems. Come on, somebody. The more you get blessed, can you stand to be blessed is the problem. See, the reason why God allows you to go through some things is because he's trying to teach you how to get a thick skin. Because if you can't handle a thick skin when don't nobody know you. See, I got folk in here. You got folk at your job. I got a few folk in here that don't like me. But then I got more people in the city that don't like me. If I can't handle the folk that don't like me in this little place, I can't handle Newport News. And so I learn how to handle the Newport News haters. God can't do nothing to elevate me all in Virginia. If I can't learn how to handle the Virginia haters, God can't take me nationwide. If I can't handle the haters in the United States, I can't go internationally. You better look at Barack Obama. How many times was he disrespected? And because he was black, he had to hold his head up a little more. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He didn't just learn that day. You think he learned how to do this when he, I'll tell you when to get mad. All right. He paused. You didn't learn that the day you got the president. You learned that because God let you go through hell before you got there. And when you learn that God is always trying to teach you something, even if it's bad, in fact, tell me when you really learn something in a good time. Tell me one lesson you learned. Huh? All of your lessons came from some hard times and tribulations. You can see thousands of miles, or maybe a million miles in the daytime, because you can see the sun. But in the nighttime, you can see millions, almost billions of miles away because the darkness, and you can see the stars, you can see other galaxies. Why? Because the darkness makes you hone in on your sight. And sometimes when God has you in the darkness, he's just trying to elevate you and get your sight honed in on what it is he wants you to look at. When you're going through hell and tribulation, you ain't got time to look at no mess that don't mean nothing. You ain't got time to get in no dog fights, cat fights, and insignificant stuff. When God has you into a crazy battle, you ain't got time to deal with this little... Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Is he a gentle or angry guy? See, now I'm going to talk to y'all because most of y'all in here, you know, some of my Caucasian counterparts, I was in Boy Scouts, so I went hiking, but just for an example, most of us, and some of us, even though sometimes, you know, even us are sophisticated, and I'm not talking about hiking in the Nolan Trail. I'm talking about if you're going in the wilderness, you need a real guide. See, the Nolan Trail ain't no hike. You already know where you're going. It's cut out.
Ain't no lions and bears there unless it's a crazy serial killer in the woods. You all right? It ain't too much danger out there. You already know where you're going. It's just a street with trees. But if you're going in the wilderness, if you're going in on a safari, you talk about the ones when you're on the truck. Tomorrow, you're walking through the wilderness. You need a guide you trust. Because you don't know where to go. There ain't no path talking about go right over here. Your GPS ain't working in the forest. So you have to have a guide you what? Trust. Do you trust God to guide your life? Or do you try to guide your own life? See, when you trust a guide, you ain't gonna hopefully you don't go in the woods with somebody you don't trust on a hike. You know, sometimes you go on a little vacation and stuff, you better hope, you know, don't try to get the cheap trip now. Get the cheap with credibility. So what I'm saying is, you go on a trip, you have to trust them to guide you and tell you where to go. Don't step over here. Don't go over here. This right here is poison. Stay away from that. Oh, no, it's a cliff over here. Watch out. We got to step this way. You see, you got to trust them because your life depends on it. But it's funny how sometimes we'll go on a trip like that and trust the guide, but don't trust God to guide our lives. Do you trust God to navigate you through the storms? See, a lot of people told me, don't come here. You're on a year probation. You don't know anybody down there. Nobody's can help you. You don't have any family there. But I don't care because God is my guide. Y'all see what I'm saying? If I just hold on to God's unchained hand, he'll lead me beside the still waters. He'll show me who a hater is. He'll show me who loved me. He'll show me who's smiling for fake and who's smiling for real. He'll show me. Do you trust God to guide your life? Worried about that. In fact, it probably was better for me to come where I ain't know nobody because I couldn't trust nobody but God. You see what I'm saying? Do you trust him? Or do you think he's a cruel guy that wants you to go to the potholes? Do you think the banjo gonna play? Some of y'all will catch that when you go home. Huh? Do you think you have God as a loving guy? Or a God who wants you to go through trials and tribulations. See, let me tell you something. I'll do that one later. I'll go to that. I'm going to use that last. Look, do you think you have an understanding or insensitive counselor? Do you look at God as an understanding or insensitive counselor? See, do you have the feeling that when you come to God that he understands your concerns? Or do you think of him as either not knowing or not caring about your desires, temptations, issues, or emotions? See, you should know that Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor. If Jesus walked down 40 and 2 burning generations, stepped out of infinite time and space, walked down, reduced himself down to his least common denominator, stepped in Mary's womb, reduced himself down so he wouldn't bust a womb wide open, was born with nobody to witness his birth but sheep and oxen. Born in a manger, a trough, where they fed the animals. Nobody to see him wrapped in milk rags. Then, born, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Came as a half-breed, Palestinian Jew, an outcast. That's what they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Came out of a broken home. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Everybody ostracized him. Then walked up the way of Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. They put nails in his hands, stretched him wide, so that when he died, he brought to fruition a soteriological dispensation that if there be no sin of blood, there's no remission of sin. If he did all that for you, became sin on Calvary, why do you think he don't want to counsel you and take care of you? You worried about being laid off on your job. If I get laid off on a job, I know a better job tomorrow. Do you trust God? He your counselor. See, the problem is we don't listen to the Holy Ghost. We reduce him down to something told me. Something told me not to go over her house. Something told me not to go over there. Something told me don't you trust him. The Holy Ghost told you. See, God, it's amazing. God is like H2O. God, H2O is the same compound, but it can come as water, steam, or ice. Same compound, different manifestations. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The only unforgivable sin, not saying that you're going to go to hell for it, but the only unforgivable sin that he said he ain't going to forgive is when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Why? God is your creator and your blesser, but he's also your judge. Jesus is your salvation, but he's also the standard you're judged by. The Holy Spirit is only there for your benefit. If you make your bed in hell, the Holy Spirit right there trying to get you out. The Holy Spirit is always trying to reconcile you and bring you into right standing with God. That's all he does, is help you all the time. That's why all he does is help you. If I make my bed in hell, he gonna be there. The Holy Ghost leads you into what? All truth. Remember I said I looked up all in American and it meant all. Spanish, it meant all. Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek. All of it meant all. And see, if you look up perfect, it may mean perfect, it may mean growing, it may be improving, it means different things in different contexts of the Bible, but all always means what? All. So if you really understand that God has himself limiting you, he's always counseling you. See, if you stop saying something told me and stop listening to your alter ego and start communing with God and listen to the Holy Spirit and let him guide you, he's always leading you into all truth. And when God is wanting to punish you, the Holy Spirit is always interceding with God, trying to get you back in right standing. And when you messing up, he try to intercede to you and bring you back in right standing. He's only there to help you. That's why it says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. God himself lives in me. Greater is he who is in me. He lives in me. God himself. Why are you worrying about somebody who don't like you? God lives in you. Why are you worrying about somebody didn't give you a job? God in you. Why are you worrying about when somebody demote you or fire you? God is in you. God said, I made you wonderfully and fearfully. He who began a good work and you shall finish it. He lives in you. Do you look at him as an understanding counselor? He loves you. He's always there leading you into all truth. Look here. Do you believe that he's a generous or reluctant provider? Mm-mm-mm. Do you see him pouring out blessings, pressed down, shaking together, and running over? Some of us don't tithe regularly and then make up our October payment. Just have to throw it in there. Because we don't think that God is a generous giver. God said, test me in this and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you won't have room to receive. Test me. Has somebody ever said, test me, that was little than you? And you'd be like, whatever. Or somebody say, test me, and you're like, oh, I'm going to fight this dude. You know what I'm saying? God saying, test me, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords saying, test me and see if I don't open up a blessing and part of that you won't have room to receive. Do you believe that God is going to bless you? See, the thing about it is, Mom, I'm so glad Mom made me go walk and do the graduation. But my thing is, it's not an arrogant spirit, but I never expect to fail. I mean, I done failed before, but I don't ever expect to fail. I expect that God going to always give me the desires of my heart as long as it's lined up with him anyway. So I always expect it. So I don't really get overly excited because I expect God to bless me. You understand? So I don't just, you know, because I expect him to bless me. Because why? He said he would. And if you look at him like a generous blesser, you won't worry about giving to other people. You won't worry about letting stuff go when he asks you to give. I give my 10%. It comes out automatically. I pay my capital campaign. I even pay for the podcast, some things that for the church. Why? Because I know God going to bring it back anyway. Let me tell you how much I know God is a blesser. I was on the way to the airport, and you know, road rage here. I'm good here. I'm delivered in Newport News, cause y'all just got the bridge. That's all right. Atlanta, please. Jesus, hallelujah. I know I can go to heaven here. On 285, I don't know. But anyway, the thing about it, I was driving, and I got to the airport. I'm trying to get my plane, and all of a sudden, this car was in front of me just going slow. I'm like, what are they doing? And then I'm starting to get upset, and I said, you know what? God trying to set me up for a blessing. It's crazy. This is how I think. Because after a while, because it just hit me then. Not all the time. Now, all the time, I don't do good. I might have missed hundreds of blessings, but this time, I ain't miss it. I was like, hold on, man. So then I'm riding, and so I get on in the Atlanta airport. When you turn your rental car in, then you get on a little train, and it takes you to the airport, and then you have little trains that take you to the different terminals and things of that nature. So anyway, this lady is running. I'm late, and she's running past me on the elevator. And you know, I see that thing, but I didn't want to run. Because, you know, I don't want to run and get clothes out. You know, I don't want to look like I'm in a hurry. You know, I'm trying to be cool with it. You know what I'm saying? So then I saw it. And then I ran just a little bit. And I said, because God said, get on this train right here. Got on that train right there. I just said to him, I said, hey. I said, what? I said, oh, Pastor Mitchell. They came in, priest, used to be the pastor of Green Forest. He's retired. And now he's working for Southern Baptist that we just got connected to now. Now look at this. He started talking about what he's doing. He's over the African American Church Fellowship for the Southern Baptist. Now, a lot of people say, why, when you're a predominantly black church, why do you go to Southern Baptist? Because I don't care about getting guilt money. I know you feel bad. Give us some money. Let's keep it real. So, but the thing about it is, he's over the fellowship. So the thing about it was, he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to come down there. We're going to do this. We're going to make sure we come in January and February for free. God set me up for a blessing to make sure that the church get blessed. Why? Because I expect it. See, the problem with us is, what is your expectation? Your expectation of God is what you receive. Remember when the boy had the epileptic seizures? Jesus, he was just sitting there going in convulsion. Jesus said, how long has it been going on? And he just looked at it. And then he said, and then the man said, I need you to help my son. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible if you believe. Basically, he's saying, if you not trying to accept or believe that I can do it, I ain't going to do it. God has nothing to prove. Do you expect to be blessed? Do you expect God to counsel you? Do you expect God to deliver you? See, once I learned that church, see, now I can live with a better example. Y'all can see the coolness I have walked through as a principal. See, here y'all saw me get emotional when I go through my trials and tribulations on the job, because you see me on the job, because I didn't know church people do the same stuff other folk do, but church folk just church folk. Okay? But now you see how calm I am. I don't get mad at all. That's how I was when I was in the world. I expected that God was going to handle my enemies. Now, I expected here, but I didn't expect church folk to do what church folk do. So I didn't know how to handle it emotionally. But in my mind, I know I'm good. But y'all didn't see me externally looking like it was. But now, I'm cooler than a polar bear's toenails. Because people are people. I expect God to handle my situations. You should expect God to bless you. Expect God to deliver you. Expect God to heal you. You get what you expect. What do you expect from God? Is he a good counselor or a bad counselor in your mind? Look, do you look at him as faithful, a faithful or inconsistent sustainer? See, do you come before the Lord with a knowing in your heart that he is trustworthy, reliable, and consistent? Or do you question whether God might be there for you in your time of need? See, the Bible claims from cover to cover that God is on our team. He never abandons us. We can count on him. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, assured us what? His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. See, if you struggle with the concept of God's faithfulness, why don't you just get in your concordance and look up the word faithfulness. Look up the word faithful. Look up the word loving and kindness and just see how many times God has come through for those individuals who were in need. See, do you have negative feelings about God? See, focus on your feelings. Are you willing to let go of your negative feelings and trust God? See, you know sometimes that we blame God for stuff, it might have been that we weren't looking for God for help anyhow. Remember when the boy with the epileptic seizure came to Jesus? He came to Jesus with a preconceived notion. You know why? He said, I had took it to your disciples, and they couldn't do nothing. And I'm sure he had took him to the doctor, the neurologist, and everybody else. The problem is he went and tried everybody else. Then he got to God and down God because of all their experiences. But the problem was he should have went to God first. See, God may use pastor to pray for you. God may use deacon. God may use deaconess. But he don't want you to run to the deaconess or the pastor first. He wants you to come to him and let him lead you where you need to go. He's always faithful when you go to him. I know we sing these songs that sound good, and I say it too. He may not come when you want it, but he always right on time. He's there when you expect him to be there. The problem is we go everywhere else and then come to God with doubts because we went to all the people first and then got a dejected and rejected spirit and then come to God with doubt. Mark said, if you pray and believe it, though you receive, it'll be given to you. Can you believe it? Can you have the faith the size of a mustard seed? Check your feelings. Check yourself. I'm almost through. Look at our attitude toward God. We must have three overriding qualities in our attitude as we approach God. One, we must be submissive. See, we must recognize that we're finite and he's infinite. We got to recognize that we are the creator and he's the creator. We must be willing to do what he says do. See, we always want to do what we want to do. We try to understand it our way. God has his own way. He tells you that his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And as high as the heavens are from the earth, so is his thoughts from our thoughts and his ways from our ways. We keep trying to use our own finite intellectual deductive reasoning, sensory receptors, and think that we got it all together. God is infinite. Are you going to submit yourself to God? See, deacons don't get mad. Trustees don't get mad. Deaconesses, Sunday school superintendent, minister of music, when people don't submit to you, they don't submit to you because they don't submit to God. If you don't know how to submit to God, you don't know how to submit to the authority you see. God said, how can you say you love me and you don't see me and you don't love the brother or sister you see? How can you say you submit to me? He didn't say that, but I'm just going another further. How can you say you submit to me who you don't see if you don't submit to the authority you see? We don't want to submit to God. We want to get the answer from God that we want. God, this is what I want. This is the job I want. God, I want this job. I always pray for what I want, but then I say, Lord, not my will, your will. I want this, but at the end of the day, do what you want to do. Now, I might not always mean it, but I say it. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got to keep saying it because you're the one you hear. But you got to say it. This is what I want, but Lord, I know I don't know exactly what I need. You do. Some of y'all done prayed for wives and husbands that you done saw 20 years later and said, thank you, Jesus. Glad that didn't let that lock me down. Come on, somebody. When we want to do it our way, it's our pride that's in the way. Our pride will mess us up. We need to understand that God knows what's best for us. Be submissive and stop bringing your thoughts to God's thoughts. Stop trying to make God do what you want to do. Stop trying to pray your prayer to manipulate God to giving you what you want. Trust him. And be submissive to him. You have to have a submissive heart. Two, you got to trust it. If you don't trust God, you won't hear God, right? If you don't trust me, some people don't trust me and been here still for 5 years, ain't heard a word yet. I done preached all I'm in sermon, but ain't heard no sermon yet. Because if you don't trust the messenger, you ain't going to hear the word. Folk come, sit in the back, come up and serve. They ain't gonna come in here, sit in the hallway the whole time, come do communion. Don't come to regular service, come to Sunday school, do their thing, go home. Because they don't trust the messenger. If you don't trust God, you can't hear God. Do you trust God or do you trust yourself? Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You have to have a trust for God, and you can't worry about it. God has you. He is the author and finisher of your faith. He will bless you. He will give you every good and perfect gift. He will give you a pressed down blessing, shaking together and running over. He will bless you. But you have to trust him. If you don't trust him, he can't bless you. Three, we must have a thankful heart. See, you got to thank God for everything. See, the problem is this. Some of us get our car, and our car, something start making a noise. You say, at least I got a car. Hallelujah. Some people don't have a car. Your boss get on your nerves every day of the week. Thank God. Some people ain't got no job. Some people got laid off. You got to be thankful all the time. Are you thankful for just because you woke up this morning? Can you just thank him? Can you enter his gates with thanksgiving? You have to be thankful. When I go through a situation, thank you, God. Whatever you're trying to teach me, I know it's going to be all right. I know whatever I'm learning today is going to make me stronger the next day. You hear what I'm saying? Thank him. Man, this car costs too much to fix. I done paid this money to fix this car. At least you had the money to fix it. Sometimes our problems begin to show us how blessed we are, because some people don't have the problem we got because they don't have the blessings we have. You got to understand that God said you will receive 100-fold in this lifetime with persecutions. Can you be thankful at all times? Do you have a thankful heart? Do you know that God just wants you, if you just say thank you? Ever got somebody a present and they ain't say thank you? Thank you, whoever got me a present. Thank you. But I'm saying, make sure I don't miss. but you know, all God wants you to do is say thank you. You coming up with Thanksgiving, He want to bless you. But let me tell you this one thing right here. I'm gonna go back to this worship thing and we're gonna get out of here. You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. See. The reason why we have praise and worship, some folks try to come here just to get the sermon. Mm-mm. You got to come here and get the worship, because you can't hear the word when you're angry. Some of us have been through mess Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then get here right in time for the sermon. You can't hear nothing because you're mad. Some of y'all came in here mad. I prayed for some of y'all because I saw y'all had attitudes, saw people arguing, all this stuff. And I prayed for you when you came in here, because hopefully your attitude together right. Hopefully, woosah. But it's hard for you to hear the word when you come in here right in time for it and don't worship. You got to begin to dump all that impediments and stuff out of your life so you can come in here and worship him so you can hear the word. You can't hear nothing angry. Remember when Samson was messing up with Delilah, he kept telling her stuff, but he was lying at least a little bit. But then when she vexed him to death, he got so angry, he told her his secret. When you get too mad, you can't hear God. The devil sends folk around you just to get on your nerves, because they keep you off balance. You have to learn how to trust him, but you can't trust him when you're walking around in anger all day. Come in here. Worship God. When you go home, you can't go to your job mad all the time. You need to pray. You need to meditate on his word and pray. Go to your job already prayed up so you can go in there so you can hear what God is telling you. Some of us are missing promotions because we're not trusting God and listening to God, because every time we get a storm, we get mad. Do you know storms sometimes are free advertisement for you? You know, I was promoted to be a principal at a young age in my 30s. You know why? Because everybody kept hating on me. And every time they hated on me, the superintendent would come down there, and I'd show them all my paperwork, the assistant superintendent, and then they'd come down there. Then they got to the point, they stopped coming, they started calling. Then they stopped calling, started emailing. Now, I already know you got it together. Then all of a sudden, here I am, promoted. Why? Because I ain't let the haters bother me. I let them be my advertising. This ain't got nothing to do with this sermon, but I want to talk to some people, because it's tomorrow, Monday. Some of y'all getting so mad when people hate on you on your job. This is just a word for y'all working folk. Some of y'all get so mad on your job, but sometimes the only way your boss paying attention to you is when somebody lying on you anyway. Because then when they lying on you, you can't go tell your boss, I'm doing so good. But when they come to your office because somebody lied on you, as long as your stuff together, that begins to bring you into the face of your boss. If my boss didn't keep coming in my face because folk was lying on me, I would probably still have been an assistant principal. You see what I'm saying? I don't know why I said that, but they ain't got nothing to do with sermon. Because if somebody out here, I mean a lot of people, this is a word for y'all. Somebody need to stop going to their job. Every time somebody telling you, stop going snitching on them. Let God handle it. You know why? Because you looking like the problem. You look like the problem because you keep going in there whining about it. Be quiet. When they come to you, just have your stuff together. As long as you got your stuff together. Free advertisement. The problem is we don't trust God enough to leave some battles alone. If you trusted God, you wouldn't go fight every time. You ain't got to fight every time. Let God fight your battles. See, let me read this. James 4:7-10, it reads. James 4:7-10 reads like this. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, we got to humble ourselves to God in such a way that we stop trusting ourselves. The only way we really can walk in humility, you know, humble doesn't mean you walk around here, yes, sir, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. No, that's not humble. Humble really means to be submitted to God. So when you humble, even if you may be walking in a bold stance, it's your humble means you're submitted to God. You're doing whatever God tells you to do. So he's saying, look here, if you submit and resist the devil, he'll free from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Let him do it. And you stop trying to do it on your own. Check yourself so you can get to the point where you submit to God and let him fight your battles and let him order your steps in his word. But again, if you've listened to this word and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's going to be hard for you to hear anything beyond that of salvation. Right now, you need to make a decision if you want to walk in this power that I'm talking about. You need to walk in this anointing I'm talking about. You have to forge a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there one? Is there one that wants to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one? Is there one that says, I need a church home. I know who Jesus Christ is, but I need a church home. Is there one? Is there one that says, this is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that wants to accept Jesus? Is there one that needs prayer? Is there one that needs a church home? You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen.